Shalom to all. Today's daf is Bava Metzia, daf Samach Hey, and we are starting about the seventh line with the words Amar Abayi. And today's daf is sponsored by Elu Nishmas Mars Merim Sar Basar Yaakov Moshe Her Neshama should have an Aliyah. Elu Nishmas Mars Rivka Basar Meir Zev Her Neshama should have an Aliyah. So the word tells us Amar Abayi says Haim Adamasik Zuzi Jerubisa Bechavrei, a fellow who's owed ribis by his friend. Obviously, there's an isser being done over here. This is talking about ribis ketsutsa, prearranged ribis, which is an isser dairaisa. Let's just say Reuven lent money to Shimon, and Shimon owes ribis to Reuven because lechiti arba grivi bezuzi beshuka, and the price of wheat in the marketplace is for grivi, which is basically measure of sorts for a zuz. However, Yavle Ihu, when Shimon's paying Reuven his ribis, he gives him chamisha, five measures of wheat for every zuz of ribis that he owes him. Kimafkini minei, so when we take the ribis away from Reuven and give it back to Shimon, arba mafkini minei, we take away four from him and not five. Idach, that fifth one that was given to him, azulihu the kamaz l'gabei, is just viewed as a reduction of the price that Shimon decided to give to Reuven. Again, let's just say Shimon has to pay one zuz of ribis. Instead of giving him four measures of wheat, which cost a zuz, he gave him five measures of wheat. So that extra measure that he gave is on his, Shimon's cheshbin, and not Reuven's. Reuven only has to pay him back four, not five. However, Rav Amar Rava says that no, chamisha mafkini minei, we take all five away from him. Why is that? Because originally, the reason why he got these five in the first place is because of the ribis that Shimon owed him. And since he's not allowed to charge ribis, it's an isser d'oraisa over here, we're going to take all of it away from him and give it back to Shimon. Rav Amar Abayi says something similar. A fellow who's owed four zuz of ribis by his friend, and he gives him a coat instead of the four zuz. When we take that ribis away from him, we only take away four zuz of ribis. We don't take away the coat. That's because if he had gotten money and bought a coat with it, we wouldn't take the coat away. We just take money. So too, when he received a coat for the ribis, we don't take away the coat. We take away the cash value of the ribis. However, Rav Amar Rava says that no, we take away the coat from him. My time, why is that? So that people don't say, that coat that the fellow's walking around with, it's a coat he collected because of ribis, and that's a chilul Hashem. Therefore, we take away the actual coat. And Amar Rava says, Haim Adamasik Tracer Zuzi Derbisa Bechavre, a fellow who's owed 12 zuz of ribis, Vagalei Chatzar, Dimizgar Ba'asara, Va'oigrin Yalei, Betracer. And he rented him a chatzar that usually is rented out for 10, but he paid 12 for it. In other words, Reuven is owed 12 zuz of ribis by Shimon, and Shimon has a chatzar that he usually rents out for 10 zuz. And Reuven decides, you know what? I'm going to rent it from you for the ribis that you owe me. And even though usually you rent it out for 10, I'm going to rent it out from you for 12, and we're just going to cancel out the ribis, and I'm going to use your chatzar instead. So kimafkini minei, when we take money away from Reuven, when we make him repay Shimon for the ribis, shereis mafkini minei, we make him pay all 12 and not 10. Amalei ravachem medifti ravino, ravachem medifti as ravino, v'lei malei, why doesn't the lender, Reuven, tell the renter, Shimon, who's also the borrower, kiagra hachi, why was I willing to rent it from you at this higher price, tavaka mishtar shili, because I was gaining. Anyway, this was all gain for me. I wasn't actually taking money out of my pocket. You owed me ribis, so I said, instead, if you pay me that ribis, I'll rent your chatzar for a higher price than usual. But hashalom mishtar shili, now that I'm not gaining, because Bezin is making me take money out of my pocket and give it to you, kida'agri kolyama hudagarno, I want to rent it from you like the price that everybody else would, which is only 10, which means I would only have to take out 10 from my pocket and give it to you, and not a full 12. And the reason why he's not able to say this is mishum d'amrole, because he could tell him, meaning the borrower can tell the lender, saris v'kiblas, you thought about it, you analyzed it, and you accepted it upon yourself anyway, meaning you willingly accepted upon yourself to rent this for 12 and not for 10, and therefore you have to take all 12 out of your pocket and not 10. And onto another Mishnah, the Mishnah tells us, marbin al aschar v'ein marbin al amecher. One can increase payment for delayed rent, but one cannot increase payment for delayed payment for a sale. Ketzad, what's an example of this? Meaning, what are we talking about? Let's say Reuven rented Shimon his chatzer. V'amar lo, and he told him, imei achshav v'atanoisin li, if you give me money right now, you pay me up front, harayu l'cha v'asr slaim l'shana. So rent is only 10 slaim for the year. However, if you're going to pay me every single month, sell l'chadesh, then it's going to cost you a full selah every month, meaning a total of 12 slaim for the year, not 10. So mutter, that's permitted. And that's what marban al aschar means. He can increase the payment because of a delayed rent payment. However, let's say he's selling him his field, and he tells him, if you pay me right now for the field, it's yours for 1,000 zuz. However, if you're going to pay me only by the gairen at the time of threshing, meaning once you harvest the crop and then you have cash on hand, mana, so then you have to pay me 12 mana, which is 1,200 zuz, usser, that's usser. That's called amtanas mais, like we've spoken about previously. He's charging more because of a delayed payment, and that's ribis. So like Mara begins by asking, mashna ratio, mashna seifa, what's the difference between the ratio and the seifa? Why is it when we're talking about rent, he's allowed to charge him more if he's going to be paying later, but when we're talking about buying something, he's not allowed to charge more for paying later? And the answer is, Rabbi Rav Yosef, Dama Travai, both Rabbi and Rav Yosef say, schiros ein mishlamas el besaif. Rent only has to be paid at the end of the month. Behind in this situation of the rent, kiven deloy mata zimni l'mikva, since it's not time to collect the rent yet, he can't collect it until the end of the month, la lav agar natale, this is not considered like he's gaining money because he's waiting for the payment. Mishvahu de hachishavya. This is what it's actually worth, meaning the actual real rental price is one sela per month, because schirs and imshlam is el basayf. Schirs is only paid at the end of the month, and therefore the real rental price is based off of the monthly payment. And v'had the kamarle, that which the owner of the property told the renter, ime achshavat nicely, if you pay me now, harayu l'chab eser slime l'shana, so then I'll give it to you for 10 slime for the year, azulihu de kamazel gabe. He's actually lowering the price, so it's not considered agar natar. Agar natar is if he charges a higher price because he's being paid later on. But over here, he's not charging a higher price if he's being paid per month. The real value of this property is a monthly rental. He's actually lowering the price if he pays him everything up front. So there's no issue of agar natar. However, it's safer in the case of the end of the Mishnah, which is talking about mecher, kim dezvini ninu, since this is a sale, ubayla mishkal domi ma'achshav, and the fellow has to pay up right now, hilkach therefore agar natar lehu, this is considered agar natar, va'asar and it's asar, because the price that's supposed to be paid right now, that's the real value. And therefore, when the seller says, I'll allow you to pay me later on, if you pay me more, that's agar natar, schar for waiting for his payment, and that's ribbis. And Amar Rava says, Dakubar Rabban and Bahamilsa, the Rabbanu looked into this matter, like Mu'akra, and they actually established it in a pasuk to show that rental for something is only paid at the end. This pasuk tells us about an Eved Ivri who's hired by a non-Jew, Keschir Shana B'Shana, like a Sachir, a laborer hired from year to year. But what's the drasha? Schir Shal Shana Zu, Enim Shalemis El B'Shana Cheres, the rental payment for this year is only paid next year, meaning once this year is finished, so then the payment's due. We see this by rental as well for property, that the rent is only due at the end of the month, and therefore that's the regular price, and if he ends up charging him less money for paying up front, so there's no issue of agar natar, and that's permitted. How we can explain the Mishnah, v'im l'garin b'shnei masar mana, the seller told the buyer, if you're going to wait for the garin, and you want to pay me later, you have to pay me 12 mana, which is 1200 zuz, so then it's asar. And our Nachman Nachman says, tarsha shari, tarsha is permitted. This is the type of transaction which is very similar to the one mentioned in the Mishnah, but this is okay. What's tarsha? So this is when there isn't two different prices. It's not that he says, if you pay me now, it's one price, but if you pay me later, it's a more expensive price. That's asar, as we learned in the Mishnah. Tarsha is when he only tells him the later price. Seller tells the buyer, if you're going to pay me later, so then you have to pay me 1200. And he doesn't mention anything about if he pays now, he pays 1000. And this tarsha is permitted. That's because it doesn't look like ribbis. Now, Isbe Ron Bar Chamler Rav Nachman, Va'amrila, and some say it was Rav Ukva Bar Chamler Rav Nachman. So we have Machloikas, who is the one that asked Rav Nachman this question. But either which way Rav Nachman was asked this question, our Mishnah says, V'im L'garin B'shnei Masar Mana, Aser. That if he tells him, you can pay me later by the Garin, you would have to pay me 12 mana, that's Aser. And this seems like tarsha. And so Amrile, Rav Nachman answered him that no, just like we explained. Hasam Katzle, over there he set an amount for him. He told him, if you pay me now, it's this price. If you pay me later, it's a more expensive price. And that's clearly defined ribbis. Whereas Hachal, like Katzle, over here didn't set an amount for him. He didn't say there's two different prices. He told him there's only one price. That's the later on price. And even though that might be higher than the current going price, since he didn't mention a price that would be right now, it's not an issue. And our Papa says, Tarsha di Shari. My Tarsha is permitted. What's our Papa's Tarsha? So our Papa brewed date beer. And in Nisan, such beer was available all over for fairly inexpensive. However, 6 months later in Tishrei, the price rose considerably. And Rav Papa would sell his beer in Nisan for the higher Tishrei price, but it was on credit. The customers didn't need to pay yet. And this is Rav Papa's Tarsha, and he's saying that my Tarsha is permitted. My Tama, why is that? Rav Papa explains, Shechroi loy pasid. My beer doesn't go bad, so I don't have to sell it right now in Nisan, I can sell it in Tishrei. And furthermore, Zuz Letzrichna, I don't need any money. I don't have to sell it right now for the cheaper price, because Baruch Shem, I have a lot of money. Rashi says that he was very wealthy because of his beer business. And so for all intents and purposes, Rav Papa could have held on to his beer all the way until Tishrei and sold it then for the higher price. And therefore, Papa continues, I know who the Kavin no Milsa Gabe Lekeach. I'm doing a favor for the Lekeach. There's certain people that want to buy beer now and drink it now, and they just don't have the money. And so I'm doing them a favor, allowing them to buy beer now, but pay only later. And therefore, since I'm not gaining anything, says Rav Papa, it's permitted. However, I'm Rav Sheshes Breder Vidi Rav Papa. Rav Sheshes Breder Vidi asks Rav Papa, My Chazi Mar the Kaazus Baser Didach Zil Baser Didhu. Why is it that you're going according to you? Meaning, why are you looking at it from your perspective that you're not gaining anything, so it's not ribbis? Look at it from their perspective. The Ilu Havluhu Zuze, if they had money right now, Havu Shaklik Yashta, they would buy beer for the current price in Nisan, which is cheaper. Hashad the Leslu Zuzi, now that they don't have money, Shaklik Kukir Lakameh, they have to buy beer at the higher price that it will be later on, and therefore they're losing out, so you should look at it from their perspective, and then it is ribbis. And Rav Papa doesn't respond to this. And the Gemara continues, Amar Rav Chama says, Tarsha Didi, Vade Shari, my Tarsha is for sure permitted. What's Rav Chama's Tarsha? So this is different. Rav Chama had a lot of merchandise, and where he lived, it was very inexpensive. However, he would give it to others at a higher price. They would take it to a locale where it could be sold for much more. They would sell it and then use that money for other business opportunities. And then later on, they would come back to Rav Chama and pay him. Now, the reason why this isn't a problem of Amtanas Mois is because Rav Chama took responsibility for the goods for the duration of the journey to that city. And therefore, these merchants really are viewed as shluchim of Rav Chama as opposed to having borrowed from him. But here's the issue the Gemara is now going to address. The problem is that since they're his shluchim, they should be getting paid for that service. And since he's not paying them, that's ribbis. Why? Because Rucham is gaining by having them transport his goods and sell them for him for free. And obviously they're okay with this arrangement because he allows them to use the proceeds of the sale for their own business ventures. But it turns out that they're working for Rucham for free because he loaned them money. And that's ribbis. As we continue with this, my time out, why is Rucham's tarsha okay? Because Nichaluhu de Lekeber Shusi, they'd rather that this merchandise be considered to be in my rishos for the entire duration of the journey, all the way until they get to the market, and while they're selling it in the marketplace, it's considered to be mine, Rav Chama's. And why is that? Because anywhere they go, they don't have to pay the taxes, because Tamil Chachamim don't have to pay the tax. And since this is still considered my stuff, says Rav Chama, they don't have to pay taxes. And furthermore, the marketplace waits for them. They had a beautiful practice back in the day that when a Talmud Chacham's stuff was being sold, no other vendors were allowed to sell that item. They first had to wait till Talmud Chacham's stuff was all sold. And therefore, these two benefits that the Shluchim are gaining are considered like the payment they're receiving from Rav Chama, and therefore it's not a ribbis case anymore. I think Mar Samachem Obeis on the top concludes, Behilchzak Rav Chama, the halachas like Rav Chama, like this case that we just mentioned, and Behilchzak Rav Elazar, the halachas like Rav Elazar, the ribbis ketsutza, ribbis dairaisa, prearranged ribbis, is taken away from the lender by Dayanim and given back to the borrower. And Behilchzak Rav Yanai, the halachas like Rav Yanai, the Amar, who said, Mali Hain, Mali Dmein, what does it make difference if it's them or their money? Like we had in previous dafim, if Reuven pays money for goods, and later on those goods go up in value, he can ask for their cash value and not for the actual goods themselves. And even though it might look like ribbis, because he's giving $100 and receiving $120, let's say, still it's not a problem because of Mali Hain, Mali Demehen. And on to another Mishnah, the case is Machal Es Sada, Reuven sold the field to Shimon, Venasal and Mixes Damim, and Shimon paid part of the money. He made a down payment. Vamar Lein, Reuven told him, Emes HaShetertza, whenever you want, Have Mais, Vital Shalcha, bring more money, meaning bring the rest of the payment, and you can take your field. Usser, this is usser. And why is that? Because when Manav Shach, there's an issue of ribbis. Because during this period that we're waiting for the buyer to come up with the remainder of the cash, who gets the pay rice? If the seller eats them, but the buyer ends up completing the sale, so it's going to turn out that retroactively, these pay rice really belong to the buyer, and the seller eating them is ribbis, because that's Hamtanas Mois. By allowing the buyer to pay at a later date, he's gaining more by eating pay rice. Another situation, we're also going to have ribbis. If the buyer eats the pay rice and doesn't complete the sale, so his down payment is going to be returned to him, it turns out that his down payment money was loaned to the seller all this time, and the pay rice that the buyer ate were reward for him lending money to the seller, and that's also ribbis. And therefore, the situation is usser. The Mishnah continues, Havei Lo Asadeyu. Let's say he lent him money for his field. Reuven lent Shimon money for Shimon's field. Vamarlani told him, Im i'atanoisin li mikan va'ad shalosh shanim. If you don't pay me my money by the end of 3 years, harei hi shali, this field of yours is mine. Harei hi shaloi, the field belongs to him. Even though it's not a fair exchange, let's say the loan was $100 and the field is worth $150. Still, it's okay. Akachai bisu ben zunin oisal pi chachamim. Bisu ben zunin used to do this according to the Chachamim, and this is okay. So Gemara analyzes the first case of the Mishnah, Mi Eichel Peiros, who eats the pears in the situation? Again, Reuven sold Shimon a field, Shimon made a down payment, and he's coming up with the rest of the money later on. So in this interim period, before Shimon comes up with the money, who's allowed to eat the pears of the field? So Rav Huna Amar, Rav Huna says, Meicher Eichel Peiros, the Meicher eats the pears. Whereas Rav Anan Amar, he says, Mishal Shalnas HaPeiros, we give the pears to a third party. And V'loi Pligi, they're not actually arguing, they're talking about two different situations. Hada Amar L'chi Maises Kani, Rav Huna is talking about where Reuven told Shimon that when you bring the remainder of the money, only then you're kind of the field. And so up until he brings the money, the field and the pay rice is considered Reuven's. And that's a Reuven, the Meicher, is allowed to eat the pay rice. Whereas Ha, Rav Anan's talking about the Amar L'chi Maises Kani Me'achshav, where Reuven told Shimon, when you bring me the money, you're kind of the pay rice already from now, meaning retroactively from now, the pears are yours. And therefore, the pears have to be given to a third party, because it really depends, as we explained in the Mishnah. If Shimon does pay the rest of the money, that means all along the pears were his, and the third party would then give him the pay rice. Whereas if he doesn't come up with the money, the pears all along really belong to the seller, so the third party would give them to the seller. If not, we'd run into ribbis issues. I will continue with a brisa that brings a similar case in the Mishnah. Tani Rav Safra b'ribbis d'beir Rav Chia. Rav Safra taught a ribbis related brisa that was taught in the Beis Medrash of Rav Chia. Pa'am sheshnei mutarin. Sometimes both of them, meaning both the seller and the buyer, are allowed to have the fruits. Pa'am sheshnei masurin. Sometimes both of them are usher to have the fruits. Upa'am shalmeicher motav lekech usher. Sometimes the meicher is allowed to have them and the lekech is not allowed to have them. Upa'amim shalekech motav meicher usher. Sometimes the lekech is allowed to have them and the meicher is not allowed to have them. And Ani Rav Basrei, right away Rava spoke up and explained, Pa'am Shashnei Mutarin, what's the situation that both of them are allowed to benefit from the fruit? Da Amar Lei, it's talking about where the seller told the buyer, Kani Kishir Zuzach, you're kinda in the land, however much money you paid. However much your down payment was, that's how much of land you were kinda. Let's say the price of the land was $1,000 and the down payment was $100, so you were kinda $100 worth of land. That $100 of land worth of pay rice belongs to the buyer, the other $900 belongs to the seller, and there's no issues. Pa'am Shashnei Masurin, what's the case where both of them are ushered to benefit? Da Amar Lei, it's where Reuven told Shimon, Lechim Maisus Kani Me'achshav, when you bring returning the money later on, you're kind of retroactively from now. Like we just explained, the pairs have to be given to a third party because we don't know if he's going to end up paying. Sometimes the meicher is allowed to benefit from the fruits and not the lekeach. What's the situation? It's the amar lei where the seller told the buyer, that when you bring me the money, only then you're kind of it. So up until then, the meicher is allowed to eat them and not the lekeach. And sometimes the lekeach is allowed to eat them and not the meicher. Where's this? The amar lei. It's where the meicher told the lekeach, kani me'achshav, you're kind of everything from now. You gave me a down payment, you can have the whole thing. And the money for the remainder of the property is just a loan that you owe me, but the entire property is yours. And so that's the situation where the meicher is not allowed to have the peiros and the lekeach is. Now we just clarify a few of these cases. Who's the tana that holds that both of them would be usher to eat from the peiros? Amar Rav Huna Rishua, he says, it's not like Rabbi Huda. Dear Rabbi Huda, if you would say it's Rabbi Huda, ha'amar Rabbi Huda holds tzad echad ribbis mutter. That when we have a situation that one of the possible outcomes could be ribbis, it's actually mutter. We have this two dafago on Samach Gimel that according to Rabbi Huda, even though one of the outcomes is ribbis, since not every single outcome is going to be ribbis, it's totally permitted. And in this situation where both of them are usher, only one of the outcomes is ribbis. The other would not be. And therefore, Rabbi Huda would not usher it. It must be this is not Rabbi Huda. The Gemara now continues with the Braisa. Mishkan le bayis, Mishkan le sada. Let's say he borrowed money from him, and as collateral for the loan, he gave him a house or a field. Varmaloy, and he told him, when you want to sell them, meaning the lender told the borrower, if you decide to sell this house or field, only sell them to me, bedam halalu, with this money. In other words, let's say Shimon borrowed $100 from Reuven, and he gave him a $500 field as a mashkain, and Reuven told Shimon, if you decide to sell this field, you have to sell it to me for the $100 that you owe me and for a little bit more money. Let's just say for another $100. So if this actually goes through, he's going to end up with a $500 field for a total payment of only $200. This situation, the Brisa tells us, usser, this is totally usser because this is chayim tanis mais. However, if he tells him, b'shav yehen, if you decide to sell this field, sell it to me for its fair value, mutter, that's permitted. I think Mar now tells us, man tanim dom halalu usser, who the tan of this Brisa would be that says that if he tells him, sell it to me for this money, meaning for much cheaper than it's actually worth, that that's usser. Amar Rav Huna Rabbi Yehuda, Rav Huna Rabbi Yehuda tells us, like Rabbi Huda, it's not Rabbi Huda. The Rabbi Huda, if you would say it's Rabbi Huda, Amar he holds, tzad echad ribbis mutter. Then when we have a transaction, then one of the possible outcomes would be ribbis, it's mutter. And over here, it's only ribbis if the borrower decides to sell the field at the reduced price. But if he doesn't sell the field, so then there's no ribbis. And therefore, Rabbi Huda would say, this is okay. And since the Braisa says it's not okay, it must be it's not Rabbi Huda. The Braisa continues, macher lebayis, macher lesada. Let's say he sold him a field or a house, and the seller told the buyer, whenever I get money, you have to return them to me. Meaning I have this land's end return policy that I can buy it back from you whenever I want. Usher, this is usher. However, if the buyer tells the seller, if you come up with the money, I'm going to return it to you, mutter sense permitted. And once again, we clarify, Mantano, who's the tana of this braisa, Amar Rav Huna Rabbi Yehuda, he says, like Rabbi Huda, it's not like Rabbi Huda. Dear Rabbi Huda, if you would say it's Rabbi Huda, Amar he holds, tzad echad ribbis mutter, then when only one of the outcomes of this transaction would be ribbis, it's permitted. And only if the seller decides to buy his field or house back, then there's ribbis, but if he doesn't buy it back, then there's no ribbis. And so according to Rabbi Huda, this would be permitted. And since the braisa says it's not permitted, it must be it's not Rabbi Huda. Now we just clarify, what's the difference between the Rish and the Seifa? Why is it when the seller makes a stipulation, I can buy it back whenever I want, so that's a problem. But if the buyer says, you can buy it back whenever you want, there's no problem. And Amar Rav, Rav answers, Seifa to Amar Lei Mi Daite, the Seifa this Braisa is talking about, where he told him, according to my das, depending on what I think then. In other words, when the buyer tells the seller, you could buy it back, this wasn't an official agreed upon stipulation where the buyer was saying, no matter what, whenever you come up with the money, I'll sell it back to you. In that situation, it would be the same as the Risha. We're actually talking about where the buyer was very nice, and in order to ease the seller's mind, he told him, look, if you come up with the money later on, I'll think about selling it back to you. Not that he told him I'll for sure sell it back to you, it's just me daite. He said, I'll think about it. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it, but I'm telling you right now that it is a possibility that I'm open to. And therefore, there's no ribbis, and that's why it's not a problem. We're going to stop it for the day and pick up tomorrow with more cases. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.